Since I met you, I have come in touch with stillness for the first time, and I have noticed more and more how rushed and driven my life really is. This inner restlessness doesn't go away. I can notice it, but I can't see what it is that makes me so restless.
Now, there are always two options. Either you want to go somewhere, or you want to get away from something.
Exactly.
And these two options are what regular people would call life. Their life. Either we want to go somewhere, or we want to get away from something, or both. That is what we normally call our life. Always running away from something or trying to go somewhere. It takes an effort to get away from something. What is it that we want to get away from? Well, we want to get away from what we call our past. And we want to go where we assume our future should be. This future is the sum of our unfulfilled wishes and desires. And the past is the suffering, the disappointment, the burden, the guilt, our believed childhood. All these are just different terms for what makes up the suffering of our past. And that is what we want to get away from. Our mind has the idea, without really understanding it, that the burden of our suffering lies in the past. And the ease of the fantasy of fulfilling our wishes and desires lies in the future. So we move along this axis, always trying to get away from what holds us or seems to hold us but cannot be shaken off totally. It is like trying to get rid of one's own shadow. Nobody seems to succeed. It doesn't matter what is buried in what you call past. Ultimately, from an absolute understanding of suffering, it does not matter at all which memories are stored in your past. Everything that is held, that is suppressed, that is not let go, is a burden. The entire past is always a burden, and the future you want to reach as quickly as possible, that you chase after, that supposedly contains everything you can or must still attain, everything you can or must still make amends with. This future holds the promise of salvation, of ease, of release from what you hold on to in the past. And so the mind moves along this axis. Where do you stop? Where in this endless flight on the one hand, and this endless pursuit on the other hand, do you pause for a moment? Where do you stop? Satsang. Being in satsang is stopping. To stop means to be ready for what I call the rift in time. To recognize it while stopping for a moment and then to fall into it. Regular people don't recognize the rift. They don't know of a rift in time. They live in time and space, and they don't know anything about this rift in the continuous flow of our thinking. And the rift in thinking is at the same time the fall into stillness. A fall beyond time and space that no thought can grasp. Where are you now? This rift can be recognized only if you are willing to leave everything as it is. Of course, we always dig up our memories because we are not at peace with them. Time and again, we try to change something, as if we could manipulate a movie after it has already been shot. But this movie has been shot exactly as it has been shot, and it doesn't matter what you think of it. What matters is the ability to see this rift in this very moment, and this rift is to be found in each moment. It is the exit from the horizontal thinking in space and time, time and space. This is a completely natural entry into meditation. This meditation is not dependent on exercises, not dependent on any practices. It simply happens in this willingness to completely stop. Whatever trance, whatever agitation you find yourself in, stop and then pause. The fall inside will start to happen. And of course, no one has taught us how to do this. Our entire education exclusively teaches horizontal thinking, and our feelings also become involved in this horizontal thinking. And so we immerse ourselves in the world of the thinking mind, where we try to find happiness in the past, present, and the future, and we do not succeed. We just do not find it. No one has taught us what it means to simply stop and fall. And then it happens. For most people, this is difficult. that in the moment of stopping and leaving the surface, a great deal of inner material, we could call it stuff, comes up. Everything that has been suppressed by horizontal thinking will come up. At this point, your trust and your presence, unmoved presence, are required to be with that process and to stay pause. It is important not to use the next best opportunity to jump back into that movie, which has been shot and is still being shot, as long as there are enough actors to keep it going. If there is no one left to play a part in this movie, there will be no more necessity for this movie. A mental movie made up of ideas and feelings and images held together by the sleep of consciousness. This is the movie I'm talking about. A movie held together by sleep and unconsciousness, and the unwillingness to look very closely. It is a paradox. A movie in which you play your part, but at the same time do not want to see what kind of a movie it exactly is. And so the movie continues, and the suffering continues. Suppression continues. Restlessness. The flight continues. This is so-called life, but not real life. Real life, which happens in stillness and yet can be very moving, is not a life based on the reality of a thinking mind. It is not the life based on an I that is thinking, "This is my life. My life consists of past, present, and future." It is not like that. That is not real life. The life that consists of past, present, and future is the thinking mind, which unfortunately everybody is confusing with life itself, with real life. My life. I was small, I have grown bigger, and soon I will die. This is the mind. False life. Limited life. Suffering itself is a life in ideas. Me and my world, and me and my relationship. Real life is a life in pursuit of happiness and freedom. A life of fighting for liberation. That is real life. Real life only opens up for those who have the courage to realize this, and then to fall into it.